Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football news. Ghana's international midfielder, Sule Muntari, has signed with the Spanish club Deportivo La Coruña until the end of the season. The 33-year-old Muntari reunites with the Dutchman Clarence Seedorf, the manager of Deportivo La Coruña. Now, Seedorf previously coached Muntari at the Italian club AC Milan. Sule Muntari also has played for Inter Milan, making him part of an exclusive group of players who have suited up for both Milan clubs. Now, Sule Muntari has a strong footprint in Italy. He's also played for the Italian club Udinese, and most recently for Pescara. And in England, Muntari has played for the clubs Portsmouth and Sunderland. Seedorf is hoping Muntari's experience can help boost his struggling Spanish club. Deportivo La Coruña is currently in 19th place in Spain's 20-team La Liga with 17 points from 24 matches. Unbeaten Barcelona coming off a 1-1 draw with Chelsea in the UEFA Champions League's round of 16 tops the table with 62 points. Getting back to Sule Muntari, he's also made 84 appearances for Ghana's national team, the Black Stars, and scored 20 goals. However, Muntari hasn't played for the Black Stars since being sent home from the 2014 World Cup in Brazil for disciplinary reasons. Elsewhere in African football, Tunisian defender Ali Maloul says England will be Tunisia's toughest first-round group opponent at the World Cup in Russia in June. The Carthage Eagles of Tunisia will kick off their World Cup campaign against England on June 18th in Volgograd, Russia. Belgium and Panama are also in Tunisia's group, Group G, at Russia 2018. The Tunisians are returning to the World Cup finals after a 12-year absence. The 28-year-old Maloul is based in Egypt with the club Al Ahly. He says the mood among the Tunisian players is positive ahead of the World Cup. The Carthage Eagles are scheduled to play friendly World Cup warm-up matches against Iran, Costa Rica, and Spain before traveling to Russia. Still more African football news. It looks like Senegal's international defender Lamine Sané is moving from the German Bundesliga club Werder Bremen to Major League Soccer's Orlando City club. The deal is pending receipt of Sané's visa and international transfer certificate. Orlando City's general manager Nicky Budalic says, and I quote, "Lamine will significantly strengthen our back line. He brings tremendous experience at the highest levels of European football, and we believe he will fit right in with what we're trying to build in Orlando." Now, Orlando also has another African defender on its roster, the Libyan Mohamed El Mounir. Before his most recent stint with Werder Bremen, 30-year-old Lamine Sané spent 7 seasons with the French club Bordeaux. Both Lamine and his brother Salif, who plays for Hanover in the Bundesliga, could, and I say could, not will, could be selected for Senegal's 2018 World Cup team. The Lions of Teranga from Senegal will be making their second World Cup appearance. In their debut in 2002, the Senegalese reached the quarterfinals at the World Cup, which was co-hosted by Japan and South Korea. Senegal is in Group H at this year's World Cup in Russia, along with Poland, Colombia, and Japan. Senegal will kick off its World Cup campaign against Poland on June 19th in Russia's capital, Moscow. Meanwhile, a three-time African Footballer of the Year from Liberia, who has now reached presidential status, is making headlines in France. For social media reaction, we turn once again to my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Yes, President George Weah and some of the biggest names to ever play sports met with French President Emmanuel Macron to discuss new funding to help boost sports opportunities in Africa. In a news conference, President Weah spoke about the enormous influence sports has on the youth in Liberia.
In our meeting, when the war came to Liberia, two sports were able to disarm the young child soldiers, and through sports, Liberia were able to go back on the table for the peace accord. So you see the power of sports, because the young people, they are happy when they are in activities. And through sports, a lot of kids can leave the street. I left the street because I had an opportunity to be part of sports in my community. And today I'm the president of the Republic of Liberia. True sports.
Ivorian football legend Didier Drogba also attended this important event and wrote his thoughts about the experience on Twitter, saying, "Very constructive lunch today hosted by President Macron and his guest of honor, George Weah. The educational, social, and economic development of Africa with sports as a common denominator. Thank you." Drogba also posted a photo of all the dignitaries and sports greats posed outside the presidential palace in Paris, France. So, sports fans, I've mentioned a few Olympic events over the past few days, but one sport I haven't talked much about is curling. Actually, no one really talks about it. It seems to be one of those sports you either love or hate. If you don't believe me, check out this tweet. "Going forward, I'm judging you solely on whether or not you like curling." See? Here's another one. "Curling is life. Seriously, I have no idea what's going on when watching, but it's so interesting." Personally, I love it. And to that last tweet, I think people don't pay much attention to the sport, in part because they don't understand it. You may not even know which sport I'm talking about. It's the one with the brooms? Right, that one. So, in a nutshell, a player slides a granite stone across the ice, curling it towards a target, and sweepers control the speed and direction of the stone. The goal is to knock your opponent's stones off the target and get yours as close to the middle as possible for more points. The one who curls the stone closest to the middle wins. And this tweeter has an extra tip, in all caps, "Shouting at the stone also helps." That's it. It's like a board game on ice. It's all strategy. I think it's a cool sport. But initially, the same couldn't be said for American actress Kirstie Alley. She actually went on Twitter to complain. "I'm not trying to be mean, but curling is boring." Well, that tweet was seen by the 2018 U.S. Men's Olympic Curling Team. They responded under the handle Team Schuster. "We're not trying to be mean either, but your movies weren't exactly riveting theater, Kirstie." Then Olympic curler Matt Hamilton took a jab, tweeting, "You're entitled to your wrong opinion." And believe it or not, Kirstie responded with three tearfully laughing emojis and then tweeted, "Okay, I'm going to give it another chance. My son loves watching curling. He doesn't love figure skating, which I do, so we can make each other give second chances today." And not long after that, Kirstie tweeted again, "Hold the presses! Now this ain't boring at all. I recant." And Team Schuster with the response, "Love seeing Kirstie Alley fully embracing her inner curling spirit now." Ah, oh, happy endings on and off the ice. I told you it's a cool sport. But if you're still not convinced, you remember Mr. T from the Rocky movie? "I pity the fool." Well, Mr. T has a long thread of tweets reacting to every curling match. I'm serious. He's watching and cheering on Team USA in practically every curling event. Don't believe me? Here's a tweet he wrote last week. I am really pumped watching the Winter Olympics. I am watching events I never thought I would watch before, like curling. You heard me. Curling, fool. Don't argue with Mr. T. Go watch curling. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. And I certainly won't argue with Mr. T. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, I'll chat with Dan Friedel about the National Basketball Association's All-Star break. So please, keep on the sunny side.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
The National Basketball Association's regular season resumes later Thursday night after a one-week break for the league's annual All-Star Game. Taking a look at some of the NBA's statistical leaders, James Harden of the Houston Rockets, still sporting my favorite beard in basketball, is the league's leading scorer, averaging 31.3 points per game. Harden also leads the NBA in three-point shots made. Those are those long-distance shots, and Harden has made 206 of them. James Harden and the Rockets also have won 10 games in a row, and they have the NBA's best record, 44 wins and 13 losses. Andre Drummond of the Detroit Pistons is the NBA's top rebounder right now, averaging 15.7 rebounds a game. Russell Westbrook of the Oklahoma City Thunder, the NBA's reigning league most valuable player. Well, he leads the league in assists with 10.4 per game. And the young Latvian giant, Kristaps Porzingis of the New York Knicks, leads the NBA in blocks with 2.4 blocks per game. Now, on February 6th, in a game against the Milwaukee Bucks, Porzingis suffered a season-ending knee injury. I asked sports reporter Dan Friedel, how does the loss of Porzingis affect the Knicks?
Well, the Knicks are one of these teams. I think I just saw a story that said they're the most valuable franchise in the NBA. They have certainly a huge fan base inside and outside of New York City. The fans would be desperate to see the Knicks get back to the level they were able to perform at in the 1990s. But they seem to be just struck by endless bad luck. I mean, if you think back just a few years ago, the Knicks perhaps thought they were going to have something going with Carmelo Anthony and a couple of other good players. That combination didn't really work out. Anthony, of course, now a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Porzingis comes in as an unknown European player and turns out to be one of these guys that comes into the league and turns out to have the potential of being a once-in-a-lifetime player with his height and agility and outside shooting touch. To see him go down is really frustrating for Knicks fans who were really counting on being able to watch Porzingis the rest of this year to give themselves a sense of hope for the future. It's got to be tough for Knicks fans. I mean, as a Clevelander, watching some of my hometown teams struggle to go deep into the playoffs or perhaps win a championship for so many years. I can certainly relate to what the Knicks fans might be going through these days, where they really have a reason for optimism with Porzingis on the roster, and then to see him get hurt has got to be incredibly frustrating.
Dan, the NBA recently held its 67th annual All-Star Game in Los Angeles, California. New format this season, Team LeBron versus Team Stephon. LeBron James and Stephon Curry got to draft their teams after the All-Stars were selected by fans, the media, and NBA players. What do you think about that new format, Dan? Do you like it, or would you like to see it go back to East versus West?
Well, I think considering we're talking about Larry Nance Sr. coming over to the Cleveland Cavaliers in February of 1988, I'm definitely part of the old school NBA generation where it was kind of fun to see the East versus the West in all of these NBA All-Star games. And, I mean, I think that you have to balance out trying something new and the competition level in the game. Of course, that was lacking in past years. Certainly, players have been interested in what it might be like to play with LeBron, what it might be like to play with Steph Curry, and, you know, watching the Cavs, watching the Heat, watching the Warriors from afar, thinking, gosh, if I could only be on a team with Curry, it would open me up for so many more opportunities. And here they had a chance to do that on Sunday night in Los Angeles. But I would rather see it go back to the old school style of play where you really did have a continuity of the rivalry. I mean, you think back to the All-Star games of the 80s with Charles Barkley and Larry Bird and Kevin McHale going up against guys like James Worthy and Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, players on the East and the West really building up a rivalry that would kind of come to a head in the championship series. I think that's the way to do it. But maybe once in a while they can do this Sandlot-style pickup game with the All-Stars getting chosen by the captains just to freshen things up. But maybe next year they'll go back to East versus West.
Dan Friedell, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Sonny. Look forward to coming in the studio and sitting in the big chair once again. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Dan.
And this Sunny Side of Sports programming note, Dan Friedell will be sitting in the big chair on Friday and again on Monday, February 26th, hosting the show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In pro boxing, Anthony Joshua and Joseph Parker are training for their world heavyweight title unification fight March 31st in Cardiff, Wales. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta, fills us in now on some of the broadcasting details for the big bout.
I'm glad to announce we will see this fight live in America.
Voice of America!
Showtime put up $1.95 million, which is almost $2 million, to show this fight to us here in America. Ticket sales, Sonny, 70,000 snapped up. Principality Stadium holds 80,000, you know. And if you want to be ringside, Sonny, you better have your dough together, bro.
Namdi, those brisk ticket sales again indicate that I don't see AJ coming to the States anytime soon to fight.
I keep telling people, and they think I'm crazy. He does not need America, Sonny. For ringside, you got to drop $5,000, Sonny. That is on paper. Close to fight night, that $5,000 ticket will be going for 10G. So homeboy is really cleaning up. If you really want to talk with a homeboy or deal with him, you got to go to the UK where he's making money, making bank, you know.
Now, the two broadcast outfits that telecast a lot of the big fights here in the States, Namdi, HBO and Showtime, they've been kind of sparring with each other over Anthony Joshua. What's going on there?
Well, we're looking forward to Anthony Joshua going with HBO. HBO, if you remember, HBO used to give us all these great fights in the past, you know. And with HBO, it's a lot of eyeballs, you know. Showtime, yes, but still, HBO has been the king. But lately, HBO just kind of dropped the ball and Showtime's taking over. HBO put up the money and Showtime matched the money. According to the deal, if Showtime can match the money, Showtime's got the deal. And Showtime, guess what? Showtime's also got Wilder and Luis Ortiz, match three at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. So Showtime's got it all covered, but HBO, you may have to think about cutting the cords right there, Sonny. Because we pay HBO all this money so that we can watch boxing. So if you cannot deliver the boxing fights for me on Saturday nights, man, what's the point of me giving you $70, $80 every month? That's not going to happen.
Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz scheduled for March 3rd at the Barclays Center Arena in Brooklyn. What's going on with that fight, Namdi?
Well, Sonny, you know, this is the second time. The first time they were supposed to fight last November, Ortiz from Cuba tested positive for some banned steroid. You know, dude was juicy. The fight is set. The big question we have to ask ourselves, will this fight sell out 17,000? I guarantee you one thing. 17,000 tickets will not be sold. Yes, will the house be papered? Yeah, we do that in America. We paper the house, you know. What I mean by papering the house, we give away free tickets to make it all full, you know.
right, to make it look good.
Yeah, for television, it's got to look good, you know, put people here and there, you know, paper the house.
Paper that house, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sonny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sonny. If you check out my Facebook page today, Thursday, you'll see a photo finish photo by Kai Pfaffenbach. Kai is one of the photographers for Reuters, and he's on hand in Pyeongchang, South Korea, the venue for the 2018 Winter Olympics. And Kai had a photo finish photo of Jessica Diggins celebrating the USA's first ever cross-country skiing gold medal at the Winter Olympics in the women's team sprint event. Also in Kai's photo is the Swedish skier Stina Nielsen. She, along with teammate Charlotte Kalla, won the silver medal for Sweden. And let me give a quick shout-out for Kicken Randall. She joined Jessica Diggins to win and share that gold medal for the USA. The photo got some response from none other than Jim JT Thompson. I got to admit, I went to high school with Jim way back when, about 40 years ago. And Jim checks in from Sweden. He gives a shout out to Stina Nielsen, who won that silver medal in Pyeongchang. And he says, congrats to Jessica and the U.S. ladies, and a tip of the hat to Kalla, whom I think won a gold medal earlier in the week. And JT is indeed right on that Olympic note. JT also writes from Sweden, I think the Americans must have caught the Norwegians napping when they won that gold medal. And sure enough, I did some Olympic research. The Norwegians have dominated Olympic cross-country skiing over the years. More than 100 medals in that sport of cross-country skiing, but they didn't win the gold in that team sprint event. USA wins the gold, and the silver goes to Sweden. As they like to say in Swedish, gratis, ladies, gratis. Congratulations to the American women and the Swedish women. And that wraps up the February 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Nigeria's health, education, agriculture, and governance sectors will get an extra assist from the United States. The U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, announced $89 million in additional development assistance to Nigeria to continue its support for development goals outlined in a Development Objectives Assistance Agreement between the U.S. and Nigerian governments signed in 2015. Nearly half of the new funding, $44 million, will support HIV/AIDS control through the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR. The remainder will help Northeast Nigeria increase agricultural productivity, economic growth, and resilience through the U.S. government's Feed the Future initiative, strengthen education, support good governance, and improve water and sanitation infrastructure. The new funding brings the total U.S. government assistance provided under the five-year assistance agreement to $808.5 million. USAID collaborated with the Nigerian Ministry of Budget and National Planning, the Nigerian Ministries of Health, Agriculture, Power, and Education, and state-level government counterparts, among others, to structure the bilateral assistance agreement, which runs through 2020. In addition to the development assistance funding, the United States provides humanitarian assistance to people affected by the ongoing conflict and severe food insecurity in Nigeria and throughout the Lake Chad Basin. The U.S. government, led by USAID, has provided more than $526.7 million in humanitarian assistance since 2017 and continues to be the single largest bilateral humanitarian donor to the region. This new assistance underscores how important the relationship between Nigeria and the United States continues to be. USAID Nigeria Deputy Assistant Administrator Julie Conan said, "Our strong partnership with Nigeria and its institutions will help Nigeria's efforts to improve its health, education, agriculture, and governance systems where they are needed most throughout the country."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share the ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. VOA. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.